Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Welcome back. How was vacation?
Good.
Yeah?
That's good. That's some interesting times. Almost watched two guys drown, but aside from that.
Sweet.
You just
let it happen, or did you actually try to go save them?
No, I didn't jump in the water because there was already... The first guy was drowning, the other guy jumped in the water before we realized what was going on.
Were there sharks? Then,
no, there's no sharks.
No.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome! Happy New Year! It is What the Puck, a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me for the first time since last year, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good, man.
Since last year.
Yeah, it's the first one of 2015.
Technically, that's true.
Uh-huh. It's way more dramatic if you'd be
that's
like,
true.
Why
that's
haven't
true.
They
He's
spoken?
Been gone since last year, which is actually less than a week.
Right. So you're back. It's not me talking to myself anymore. Did you have a good break? Have good holidays for you?
I did. I spent a week out of town in some warmer, much warmer weather. And, yeah, it was good. How about you?
Holidays were good, man. Treated me well. I got a Caps toque, which came in very well today.
Did you get the Winter Classic one?
I got the Winter Classic toque with the star on it. I got that. But, hey, it suited me well for today's snow that we had in Maryland here. It took me 2 hours to get to work, but that toque kept me warm in the car, so I was very happy with that. But let's jump right into it, man. Here we go. Winter Classic. Finally over. I gotta say, I know I'm a little biased since I'm a Caps fan, but I thought this was the best setup for a stadium that the NHL has ever put on. I thought it was a beautiful setup. I thought the Capitol building and then the little where everybody actually wanted the Winter Classic to happen, the little like reflection pool there. I thought all of that looked great. The star design. Overall, like from a TV side, I thought it all looked very appealing to anyone who may not have, been a Caps fan forever.
It was a lot of fun to watch. It would have been great to be there, but it was just too damn expensive to end up going in the end. But it was definitely a lot of fun to watch. I really enjoyed watching it on TV. Second period, not so much. That was kind of boring. And the complete lack of actual calls by the referees. But aside from that, the game was actually a lot of fun to watch. It is just another game in the end, but to have a game like that on national television and to see the Caps end up coming out with a win, a very exciting win, I might add, was definitely very satisfying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't go as well. I like after seeing it on TV and everything, I was like, man, I really wish I would have been there. That was definitely a great setup.
You wait for the Stadium Series game. I'm telling you, man, they're going to have one.
I'm sure they will. Well, I don't know if they will or not with DC because the ratings came back and this was the lowest rated Winter Classic that they've ever had for the last 7 years. So who knows if they'll bring it back to DC because obviously DC's not a big market, at least rating wise for that. But
well, I think it could be that or the teams. And if you go back and look at the Penguins Capitals one, the three biggest markets for that game, I believe, are Pittsburgh, Washington, and Baltimore. Not in that order, but I think it was more the teams that were playing was more the reason as to why the ratings were down, as opposed to the fact that it was in DC. I don't think the location ever makes a difference. I think it's more about the teams and the matchup. And I think if it was against an Eastern Conference opponent and a team that they actually had some history with, the ratings would have been higher.
Yeah, I think Puck Daddy wrote about this, and I kind of agree with him that when you go into a Winter Classic, I think a lot of people do have stadium outside hockey game fatigue, given the fact that there were so many Stadium Series last year that it kind of has taken away why this is a special game. But besides that, like you said, there was no rivalry. It wasn't Caps Pens like it was the first time around. There wasn't a really a big weather factor. factor except for sun glare, which nobody really cared about that. There
was that ice looked nice though. That was probably the nicest looking. I mean, definitely better looking game than in Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there weren't puddles anywhere. Last year, you always had to stop for snow. I mean, that was a big. You had snow the first year. You had snow at the big house. You have, you know, rain, and then it gets switched to prime time. Like, the weather has always been a factor, and that's always been something. But it wasn't a factor this year. But then also, if you do think about it, like, National Stadium isn't like a big, like, oh, you have to go to that stadium to see a baseball game before you die, like Fenway has been or Wrigley Field has been. So it could have been like there just weren't any of those special factors except for the fact that this is a New Year's tradition now. You watch hockey, it's outside, it's something special. If you're a hockey fan, I'm sure you're watching, but it doesn't grab those, you know, those, oh, I only watch hockey in the playoff type of fans like it did in the past with special stadiums or weather concerns or special rivalries like Sydney and Alex. So I think all of that kind of factored into it, but it was the lowest rated one, so I was a little upset with that. But overall, as a fan, though, I mean, what a great time to be a Caps fan. 40,000 fans. It's not like a lot of Chicago fans, you know, were going to make the trip here. It wasn't like it was right down the street. So the majority of those fans there were Caps fans. It looked great. It was a great game. Braden Holtby, like you said, dude is playing great. What a great time to peak for him, looking like, you know, a million bucks out on the ice, except for that one sun glare moment. But overall, I mean, Ovechkin played great. He finally got a goal in an outside game. You could tell, my gosh, you could tell how much fun that dude was having. He was just having a ball out on the ice. This was like a game built for him.
He was everywhere.
Oh yeah, he was everywhere. Like a little bit in the second period, he kind of slacked off, but the rest of the game, like, he was there. He was ready to roll. This was a game that he was excited to play, and he was having just so much fun on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell by, aside from the beginning of when he was having fun, he was wearing his Beats by Dre headphones during the warm up, and then I wouldn't get surprised
to do that.
He does, but he probably still likes the whether it's those headphones or whatever, but sort of the idea of having the headphones on as he's warming up, I think it's an interesting thing that the NHL could. I wouldn't be surprised if they started letting players do that somewhat. I mean, you have the same thing in the NFL to some extent, where the players will wear headphones when they're out there warming up, and so that was kind of fun. You can see he was having a lot of fun there when he scored the goal. I'm surprised he didn't jump through the glass out of excitement, and then the whole time he was just going crazy trying to get when he was walking out. Was it the second period? Or at some point he was walking out to the ice or skating up, and he's like trying to get the crowd riled up and stuff like that. So he was definitely feeling it and having a lot of fun in the end. I think a lot of the players were, just some of them aren't quite as outgoing as Ovechkin is.
Yeah, he definitely wears his emotion on his sleeve here, and he was having a great time. You could definitely tell. But overall, this game, if you're a Caps fan, you got to be excited. Just for the sheer fact that this game, I mean, to beat the Blackhawks, I mean, that's a huge deal. They're one of the best teams in the league, multiple Stanley Cup champion in the last couple of years. I think they're number one in the West, so like... Or if they're not number one, they're very close to the top. This team has looked great against a team that potentially they could see, you know, down the road in the postseason if they get that far. I feel as if they have definitely shown that they can be a great team, and I feel as if at this point now in the season, it seems as if everything is clicking. It seems as if this team is ready to they've bought into the Barry Trotz system. Everybody's clicking. Braden Holtby and Mitch Korn, you know, they're working well together. This is a team that I think showcased on a national TV market, which we said they had a problem with last year. This is a team that's clicking. This is a team that looks good. This is a team that you can get behind because there's a solid chance they go far this season.
Yeah, they definitely are starting to play better, a lot better than they were playing at the beginning of the season. I mean, they've got points in 11 out of 13 games in December, going 9-2-2. I mean, they went from December 2nd to December 23rd, gaining a point in 9 straight games, 8 of them being wins. One of them was an overtime loss. So they definitely are playing significantly better. They've won their first 2 games in January, one of those being the Winter Classic. And so they're definitely starting to get on a roll here. Now, the one thing that's sort of a concern is that, are they starting to peak a little too early? A lot of times the team that wins the Stanley Cup isn't the best team overall. It's the team that peaks at the right time and is playing their best hockey when they get into the playoffs. And so there's always a concern as to whether they peak too early and are they going to be able to continue as they go on. But I don't think that's necessarily the case, because I think they are finally adapting to understanding and fully integrating Trotz's system. I think we saw a lot of that watching Epics and sort of the way he talks to the guys. And he's definitely different. he surely doesn't curse as much as Boudreaux, even if he did apologize for all the cursing, which I thought was pretty funny. But I think we see that he's definitely a coach that these players not only enjoy playing for, but they're all excelling for the most part playing for him. And so I think the team right now is definitely on a roll, and they have a shot. They're third in the Metropolitan. I forgot what the division was called because it's so stupid. They're third in the Metropolitan Division behind the Pittsburgh. They're, 6 points behind Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh's tied, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but they're tied with the Islanders for the first place in the Metropolitan Division, 6 points ahead of the Capitals. And the Caps are a point up on the Rangers, but the Rangers have played two less games. So they got to go on a little bit of a winning streak and keep the Rangers from losing. You know, get the Rangers lose a couple of games, which is why that loss to the Rangers was so hurting at this point. You know, they definitely could have used getting the 2 points in that game and not giving up those. Or even getting one in that game would have been helpful. But you know what? They won the Winter Classic, so who cares?
Well, you know what? It's very interesting because the Islanders, like you just said, you can't believe you're saying it, they look like a legit team this year. They're somebody to definitely be scared of coming up into the postseason in a couple months. They definitely are a great team this season. That's who the Caps went up against right before the Winter Classic. The Caps came up a little bit short. So I definitely can see these guys going far. But for the Capitals, though, Everything just seems to be working right now. Barry Trotz, like you said, bringing up the Epic series. Barry Trotz, I liked him before the Epic series. I liked him as a coach. Getting to meet him at Fan Fest in July, I thought he was a really great guy. He shook everybody's hand. I liked the fact that he was very humble. You get that even more seeing him on the Epic series. I like the way he's leading this locker room. I like the fact that he's being very upfront with the guys. When he benches, doesn't bench, but tells Andrei Burakovsky, you know, you're going to sit upstairs for this one. He's like, look, you're a young guy. You're not really a man yet. You're a young man. Just watch for this game and kind of see what you're doing. He's motivating them, and he's doing it in the nicest way possible. He's not a screamer. He's not somebody who's going to like just tell the guys, look, you suck. You got to get better at this, which I think all the guys are responding to.
Coaches just say you suck.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that will come into the locker room. We saw it on HBO, maybe against Detroit and Toronto, where they just come in and they're like, you know, get your effing heads into the game and scream at them and say, like, you guys got to focus and this, that, whatever. Barry Trotz doesn't do that. It seems as if he does get fired up, but he's just, you know, he pinpoints certain people and, you know, he's very one-on-one with them. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter or not, but apparently Barry Trotz asked Brooks like to have a coffee with him earlier this week, and Brooks was like, I thought I was in trouble. But it was just Barry Trotz going like, I want you to know you're doing a good job, you're really helping this team, and thank you for that. So he's very straightforward with these guys. I like the fact that Barry Trotz is very encouraging, and you were seeing that a lot in the Epic series. But I, again, with the entire team right now, I feel as if everyone's just kind of like, oh, it's another coach they're bringing in. They're like, this is a guy we can get behind. This is a guy that we believe in. This is a guy that will definitely help us get to our goal, which is a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely seems like the coach that everyone has enjoyed playing for so far. And I think that if he can keep these guys going and they can get the offense going even better than it's been. The offense is doing a lot better. The PK has been doing a little bit better lately. And I think it's important to keep the power play going. They've got a little bit of a tough schedule coming up, but I think with Trotz in here, you got a guy who's a proven head coach. It's the first proven head coach that Ovechkin in the NHL level, I should say, that Ovechkin has had in his career. And so to see that sort of the way he handles situations is probably different than he's had with any other coaches, just because those guys didn't have the same experience that Trotz does. They didn't have that knowledge on how to handle certain situations. So if these guys get into a slump at some point later in the season, Trotz is going to know how to handle it, or at least he's going to figure out how to handle it and keep going forward. So I think the team is in good hands right now. I think it'll be interesting to see what they do at the deadline, if they're definitely still in the playoff hunt, to see if they try and bring somebody in to help this offense. I don't think defensively they really need to make any big moves right now. They got lucky that Orpik isn't hurt more than it looked like he was.
Oh, that looked bad. I thought when he went down for months.
That was maybe a month, but I thought he was going to be out for a while, at least a couple of weeks. And so when he went down, I was like, oh, crap. And then for him to come out and play, what was it, a couple of days later, 3 days later, in the Winter Classic was definitely awesome. But, yeah, going back to Trotz, I think he was the right guy to hire for this team. I think he's doing great. They still got to get a little more out of the offense. But aside from that, I think there's still some problems that this team has had. But, there's things that he started to work out. I think that right now that's the best thing for Team Mercedes. They've got someone who can work out the problems that they've had in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that he's doing that's very interesting, and I don't know how much I like it, but I'm kind of getting behind it right now, is he's moving everybody onto that top line with Ovechkin and Backstrom to see what really fits well. He put up Jason Chimera there for a game or so or a couple minutes and realized, oh, that's a mistake, and then completely rearranged that line throughout the game. But he put Andrei Burakovsky up there. Burakovsky looked great in the last game, was able to get a goal. He was on that top line. Another thing that Barry Trotz kind of admitted, and I think he's going to kind of stick with it, is that he thinks he put Kuznetsov and Burakovsky in center too early. So there's a good chance we're going to see those guys playing wing more often than what we've seen in the past, which I think is also a good move, because if these guys are young, it's way better to have Burakovsky on the wing than sitting up in the press box.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think you can definitely learn a lot from sitting up at the press box, but nothing is quite the same as being on the ice and playing. And so to have him out there playing on the first line, he played pretty well on the first line. It wasn't in the Florida game with Ovechkin and Backstrom. He's definitely – the team overall is having some trouble finding someone on that right wing to play with those two star players. And, you know, we thought Wilson was the guy, and he kind of looked like – he's got the energy, but he just doesn't have quite the skill set yet to play on that first line. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing going into the trading deadline or beforehand as to whether McClellan is going to go out and try and find someone to play on that right wing. I know our buddy Dave on Twitter, so he wants Eric Fair there. And I think Fair, who's been playing very well as of late, certainly deserves the opportunity to give it another shot on the first line. Because I know earlier in the season he was out there and – but the team itself wasn't clicking offensively, and so he didn't really get not as fair a shot, but I definitely would like to see it again, see how he can do playing on that first line. But you got to keep Burakovsky, and I think he can keep learning. As we saw on Epics, Chimera was certainly not pleased about being a healthy scratch in the one game.
Yeah, he was pretty ticked off.
He was a little perturbed, you might say, about that. And so, honestly, I would not be surprised to see Chimera traded, and not because the Caps don't want him necessarily, but I wouldn't be surprised if it came to a point where he wants to play more, he's not getting as many minutes as he wants, or he's not getting as many games as he wants, and it might be a time for him to go to a team that's going to give him a better opportunity to play every night, potentially get more minutes. It may be a point where Chimera is just sort of an excess player here, and they don't necessarily need him on the roster, and you can easily, not necessarily easily, but you could potentially replace him with someone like a Chris Brown, who's down in Hershey, or even I don't think I bring up Galiv necessarily. They don't have the same skill set. I think Brown could be the guy. I know Volpatti's back, but he's not the guy.
What about just a guy like Liam O'Brien, bringing him back up?
We haven't heard much about him lately, so I mean that's a possibility. But honestly, whoever comes up is going to sit up in the press box anyways. So if they keep Burakovsky in, because Kuznetsov, Brower, and Johansson have actually turned out to be a really solid second line, I think they've definitely developed very well together. Johansson's playing better in terms of going to the net. He's definitely got a little bit more of not a feisty side to his game, but he's a little bit more he's a lot more effective lately, I should say. He's going to the net and things like that. And was that him the other night that had that huge like wraparound? Or had the opportunity, he's like had. I think it was him. I mean, he had to stop because the defenseman came in, but like he completely faked out the goalie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There was another goal I want to bring up of Johansson. I don't know if it was in the last week. Oh, God, I can't remember what game it was, but there was he had a breakaway towards the net, and knowing Johansson in the past, I was looking at him like he's going to pass it.
He's going to get rid of it.
He's going to get rid of it, and then he shot it and got the goal. And I was like, that was a great move because he was faking me out at that point because I figured he's going to pass it. But then he goes for it. I like that new aggressive side of Johansson.
Oh, he's definitely become a lot more offensive lately in terms of shooting the puck. Not that he wasn't offensive before, but I think as long as Trotz too. Trotz has been Oates started telling, I believe, to start shooting the puck more, and I think Trotz is sort of taking that and run with it in terms of getting him to shoot the puck more. And I think now that he's not playing in the center spot, he has the opportunity to potentially shoot more. They're putting him in positions where he can score goals. He started out great to start the season. I think now that that second line has sort of settled down with him, Brower, and Kuznetsov, that they're going to start doing better. They're going to get more goals, and I think it's nice to see they finally have a second line that's performing well. I think Kuznetsov still got plenty of room to grow, but he's even becoming more confident. He had a move, I want to say it was in the Florida game, where he had a move that just completely faked out one of the defensemen. The problem was that there was just too many guys in front of the goal that he couldn't get closer, but he was coming along the boards and just completely juked one of the – he was a defenseman forward, just completely went around the guy like he wasn't even there. It was embarrassing. But Kuznetsov's definitely getting a lot more comfortable. Johansson is playing more aggressive. Brower is Brower. He's doing well. I know I was kind of crapping on him to start the season, but he's come on strong over the last, what, couple, 2 months or so. And so he's definitely going to be hanging around. And it's nice. I think the problem right now is the first line in that right wing spot. Who's going to be the guy there? I mean, third line with Like and Ward. Who's centering the third line right now? I'm totally blanking on it.
Is it Fair?
Fair, sorry. Yeah. With Like, Fair, and Ward, I think of them. Although Ward doesn't seem like he's scoring as many goals as lately. But the third line's playing fine. They're doing great defensively, and they're able to chip the puck in the net every once in a while. I mean, Like had that really nice goal the other week. Where he just was like, ah, screw it, and just like ripped it. And then the fourth line is the fourth line. You're not expecting a ton out of that line, but they're playing well. Wilson's out there hitting everybody and punching people in the face. And so they're doing what they need to do. I think right now that first line right wing spot is becoming an interesting problem that they're going to have to solve.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking last year about how a guy like Dustin Penner would be a good spot there. I think that spot's Tom Wilson's. I know, like, he's still very young in
I think in the future it is.
Yeah, yeah, right? He's very young in his career right now. He's still getting used to it. You know, Trotz did scratch him because he did have some dumb moves in a game 2 weeks ago just to kind of have him sit down, settle down, and realize stuff. But I don't think they don't need to, like, trade and away anybody to get somebody to be there for, the second half of the season, because I think that's Wilson's spot to take. I think he's got to learn to what he's got to do, what his position is on the team, what his role is on that line, and eventually it'll be a Backstrom, Wilson, Ovechkin line. Those guys, I think they still need time to work together, but in the long run, I feel as if that's Wilson's spot to lose. I mean, if he completely screws up and just doesn't perform the way he has been, then it's his to lose. But right now, I think it's his for the taking. It's just getting himself to that skill set and that skill level of the other two guys.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson, I think Trotz saw a skill set that's possibly bigger, but he's just not there yet, especially offensively. And I think he's always sort of a step behind Ovechkin and Backstrom. They always have an idea, and he's not there yet. He's not thinking fast enough almost yet to be able to have that position. And so I wouldn't be surprised if you go out and you I don't know who in particular, but you could go out and trade for a guy who is maybe 32, 33, 34, but it still has a skill set to play on the first line in the NHL, and they can go out and sort of play that role. Like when they brought in Mike Knuble. Mm-hmm. You go out and you find another Mike Knuble type to play on that first line.
Just call him Mike Knuble. He's not busy.
Well, he's busy being retired. Not that much. But no, I think you go out and you find a guy who's kind of like a Mike Knuble. You don't have to go out and find a young guy that you may want to hang on to for 5-6 years. You could, you know, that way he's sort of impeding Wilson's progress for the future potentially. But you go out and you find a guy who's older in his career, who you hang on to for maybe 2-3 years at the most. And then when Wilson's ready, he then can bump up to that line. You're not rushing him like you kind of did this season. You give him time to progress. And so I wouldn't be surprised if at the deadline or beforehand they're able to go out and find a first-line guy. And it may not be a guy who potentially is on the first line on the team he's on now. That could be for whatever reason. But you go out and you find a guy who has a skill set and can think quick enough and fast enough to be able to keep up with the Ovechkin and Backstrom and just park your butt in front of the net and knock in the garbage goals.
Yeah, we'll see what happens down the road. I'd like to see Tom Wilson stay at that role, but like you said, it may take him a couple seasons to kind of get used to that. Closing up the Winter Classic Washington Capitals segment here, got to give a lot of credit here to Eric Fair. He seems to be the greatest outdoor hockey player of our generation. He's constantly
got another goal. The dude is ridiculous.
He's great, absolutely great. Eric Fair. I heard that Ted Leonsis came into the locker room at the end of the game, put a giant X on Eric Fair's shirt and said, "You're our X factor. I told you that before the game. You're proving it to me right now." So that's pretty cool. Troy Brower with the 13 seconds left in the game goal. What a crazy sequence there. He was on point. Absolutely great showing by him. And Braden Holtby, even though that first goal got to him because he couldn't see it because of the sun glare, he did perform very well. Those are kind of my three stars of the Winter Classic. And that's not taking anything away from Ovechkin or any of the defense as well. I thought that was such a well-played game by the Capitals. I feel as if they knew all the eyes of the world were on them, and they played, and they were ready to play like everybody was watching.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to pick out just three stars. I mean, The only guy almost who played the entire game exceptional was Braden Holtby. And to quote the late, great Stuart Scott, you know, he has been as smooth as the other side of the pillow. Holtby has been playing phenomenal for this team lately. And it's the exact reason that they've got points in 11 out of 13 games in December. I mean, the other guys have chipped in. Obviously, the goalie's not scoring any goals. Although in that shootout, that would have been awesome if they let the goalies go at it at one point. It would have been ridiculous, but it would have been funny. Holtby's been playing phenomenal. I think he's sort of the number one star. I think Brouwer, that whole series was weird in the way the Caps scored to get Brouwer got that goal, because it was definitely not a penalty on Jonathan Toews. I went back and I watched it, and he kind of hits Backstrom in the midsection, but not enough that I really think he deserved a call. But I think the refs realized that it was just so bad in terms of the penalty differential and the fact that the Blackhawks definitely had a bunch of penalties that they got away with. And so that eventually they're going to give the Caps sort of a gimme penalty. It was just unfortunate for the Blackhawks that it was sort of at the end of the game. And so, you know, they set up that opportunity, and I think, you know, it was great. Ovechkin, even though they had another penalty coming up, because I can't remember who it was on the Blackhawks, but they slashed it might have been Brandon Saad. He slashed a stick out of Ovechkin's hands, and so that's a penalty. And then he kind of blocks the goalie a little bit, but Crawford could see the puck, but it just – Brouwer with the great move to lift the Blackhawks player's stick out of the way – got the puck, spun around, fired it in net. He didn't realize it went in at first. I don't think anybody knew it went in until it might have been Brooks Like threw his arms up in the air, and everyone was like, oh, snap, it went in, we were winning. Okay, cool. Like, Ovechkin didn't realize. He was busy, like, putting his arms up and kind of glancing at the referee as he was getting to turn around and go back to the bench to get a stick, and then he looked over and saw it went in, and then he went crazy. And then Backstrom, did you see him almost take out Brouwer?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he knocked him almost over, and then Ovechkin came jumping in, and then he was, like, jumping up and down. I mean, that whole thing was crazy. I mean, I was watching it, and I didn't really expect anything to happen, and all of a sudden there was a goal, and I was like, what? It's like, you know, just under 13 seconds left. I mean, the whole game was just ridiculous, but a lot of that the credit for that win has to go to Braden Holtby, because he played great the entire game.
Yeah, and we were talking about I brought up the three stars of the Winter Classic.
Owns Winter Classics.
Yeah, fair. I mean, just have him in every game, because he's the best outside, so he's great. He credited it all to the fresh air that he was breathing in, so good for him. But we do also have to bring up Alex Ovechkin became the number two star of the week for the NHL last week, and congrats to him. Always a good showing for a Capital B in the spotlight for the NHL.
Yeah, it's 6 points, 3 goals, and 3 assists in the past week. So that was really phenomenal. And to real quick to touch back on the to go back to Winter Classic, the Washington Capitals are the first team in NHL history to win two Winter Classics.
Oh, interesting.
I noticed that. Thank you, Wikipedia. they are the first team to have two Winter Classics. Now, real quick, sticking with the Winter Classic theme, you said before that Boston is rumored to get the Winter Classic next year.
Yeah, that's the
rumor. They'll be the first team to host two Winter Classics, and it'll be the third one they will participate in. What? Like, come on, get someone else. This is ridiculous.
I was thinking if they wanted to include Boston again, they should have the game in Montreal and have it be Montreal against Boston.
That would be good.
It would be the first winner.
That would be the first winner classic that fans get onto the rink to fight each other.
Well, think about this, too. If the ratings were down for the Winter Classic this past year, who's a hockey fan? Canada.
When you're visiting the Great White North of Canada, you got your Canadoos and you got your Canadon'ts. Top shelf right there, number one. Don't go telling a Canadian you don't follow hockey.
Oh, of course. I should have known that. Makes them sad, right?
Canadian doesn't get sad. Sadness was made by the USA.
So after you had a low rating for...
That's a good way to put that.
Yeah.
after not a person, Canada.
Canada as a whole. It's their thing. But think about it. So the ratings were down. Obviously, you know, American fans really weren't really into it. It made, you know, buku bucks in D.C., 40,000 people, you know, $10 Cokes and $120 jerseys and whatever. But you put the first ever Canadian Winter Classic next year after your lowest rated game. Dude, gangbusters. The ratings would be through the roof. And all of Canada would come to Montreal for that game.
That would definitely be intense. I think right now they were trying to keep it in the U.S., but I don't see any reason why not. To Montreal versus Boston would be... Oh, that would be intense. And you can imagine, they're probably going to have it on Epix. Epix is having a stadium series, like, behind the scenes, which I thought was kind of silly. But that would definitely be cool. That would be intense. And there's sort of, I was talking with, I was talking with my girlfriend about the Winter Classic stuff and talking about how Boston's going to have it next year. And we were talking about how, you know, why not a West Coast team? And then there was sort of the question as to, could they have that? And, you know, they like having the 1 o'clock start time. They want to have the game during the day and on TV during the day. And so, you know, you have that 2 hour, 3 hour time difference. It could be a problem. So,
and you got to have it before the bowl games. That's the big thing.
That's the other problem. And so, like, you know, if you want to have the game, you don't want to have the game start at 10 o'clock in, say it's in, you know, Vancouver or California, if you want to have one of those weird outdoor games in 75 degrees. Although it did work out last year. But this is sort of a problem where you're going to have, is, you know, you're going to start at 10 o'clock so you can have the 1 o'clock showing on the East Coast. You're going to have to, you know, you're probably 1 o'clock there, so it's going to be 4 o'clock. Are they going to have the game start at noon so that then games at 3 o'clock broadcast on the East Coast? So there's definitely some problems, and that might be why the East Coast is always getting a game. But I still want to see Minnesota versus Dallas. This is the old Four Stars versus. But now that you brought up Boston, Montreal, man, that would be intense. It would be good. Even if they, I mean, it's going to be stupid to have them in Boston again, but if they have Boston against Montreal in Boston, that's also just as intense.
You also got to think about, if they're doing it in Boston again, do they go back to Fenway or do they go, you know, do they go?
Yeah, no, they'll go to Fenway. Because the, what's it called? Gillette Stadium's not even in Boston.
It's in Foxborough.
Is it like 45 miles, minutes outside of Boston?
I don't know how far away it is. I was thinking about going on Saturday to see the Ravens-Patriots game, but a little expensive for my taste, but. I don't know how far away it is. One other quick story before we get out of Caps World here. I don't know if you saw this or not, but I don't know if you were back in town, but Modell's, 2 days before the Winter Classic, put all of their Capitals jerseys and T-shirts on sale 50% off. So that meant Winter Classic, Winter Classic jerseys were 50% off. Now, I know.
Wait a minute. Timeout. Backup. Was it just Winter Classic gear that was 50% off?
Yes. Just when.
Never mind.
Except for.
I did hear about this though. My friend got a Winter Classic jersey. He said 70% off.
Not. I was 50. It was 50 from what I
think
understood.
It was. Yeah. He got his wisdom teeth removed, so maybe he was a little,
he was a little loopy. Besides Winter Classic stuff, really nice slipper loafer type of deals with Caps logos on the top. Also, were 50% off.
I don't know. Winter Classic logo on it's not good.
I am wearing them right now. Just want to point that out.
Of course.
Very comfy, and it's cold out, but very comfy. Keeps you warm. But the jerseys, I was like, all right. I know Coach Dan hates this logo. He hates the jerseys. I was kind of okay with them. I didn't want to pay a lot of money for them, but 50% off, that's a deal. So I started hunting, okay? I started trying to figure out. There's like a couple Modell's in Baltimore. I went to one on my lunch break. They don't sell any kind of Capitals gear, so that was a dead end. I called up one store, and they're like, oh, yeah, we have stuff, but it's flying off the shelves right now. You have to come in within the next couple minutes. So I went there, and by the time I got there, they were out of my size, out of all jerseys except for youth. So I went to two other stores, also had nothing. So I pretty much gave up on the Winter Classic jersey hunt at that point. I came back home. I did a podcast with my buddy Josh, The Call, talking about the Ravens, which we will be recording tomorrow to get you ready for Saturday's game against the Patriots. A little plug there. But I was reading Russian Machine Never Breaks as I was editing the show, and it was at 7:30 at night. And somebody said, hey, I just got back from the store in Bethesda. They have walls and walls of stuff. So I called them. I was like, do you guys still have jerseys? Do you have it in this size? Can you hold one for me? Yes, yes, and yes. All right, great. I will see you in an hour. So I hopped into my car, put my dog in the back seat, and drove to Bethesda, which is an hour drive.
You're down in my neck of the woods.
I was. Drove down to Bethesda, drove an hour from my house. Tried to find parking because Bethesda is not very visitor friendly. I'll put it that way.
No, man, you gotta hit it. I think I know where the Modell's is, and so it's like you could park in the lot by the police station.
Yes, that's what I did. That's what I did.
Yeah, exactly what you're talking about. Okay,
I had to get on the main street, realize there was no parking in front of Modell's, and then I had to make this right. But then there's like a Hilton and all this other stuff, so there's no like side street I can go on. So then I had to go a couple miles down the road where I came in on from 495, circle back around, and then I just had to kind of guess where the Modell's was by the back of this building because I was in a residential area, which is right behind the Modell's. finally figured out where that was. Got out of my car, paid for it, got these loafers, got some t-shirts to give to some friends as well, and checked out, and I got my Winter Classic jersey, 50% off from Modell's. I don't know if they're like going out of business or if they didn't know what they had or whatever, but 2 days before the Winter Classic and they put it 50% off, I was happy because I wasn't paying full price for that stuff, but I got a Winter Classic jersey. I'm happy. It took me a little while. 2 hour round trip, got home, low fuel, next day, almost couldn't start my car because it was so cold and I was so out of gas. So it took me a couple minutes and a couple, you know, key turns, finally got it turned on, and then I got my gas filled for the next day for work. But came close to not going to work the next day because I took a 2 hour trip to Bethesda.
Well, you know, you got to do a lot of stuff apparently to get a crappy jersey. No, I do have to admit that the jerseys, when I was watching the game, they actually did look pretty cool. I just don't want to own one. That stupid W.
I like the W. It's the shoulders that I don't like, but even they kind of grew
up. I don't like the shoulders either. I remember I saw a jersey, I was at Montgomery Mall a couple of days ago, and I had to go to the Apple store and swung by a sports store real quick, and they had a jersey there, and it was just like, the shoulders just look weird. I mean, it looks a little better when you're like playing, but you get rid of the shoulders, go with a different logo. It's actually a pretty cool jersey. I do like it a little bit, but not enough to get one.
Even 50% off, you still wouldn't do it?
Nope. I do want a t-shirt with the Winter Classic logo, with the cat, like the DC Winter Classic logo on the front. I would get that. That would be cool.
With not the W, but the like the shoulder.
No,
patch.
Not the W, but like the, you know, the Winter Classic.
The shoulder patch, yeah.
Yeah, I'll get that. I like that one. That was cool. If I can find one of those, all right. I would probably get that. That was cool. So as they won it. They lost, I'd be like, screw it.
Yeah, but, and that's what I was like, please win, so this wasn't just a terrible, terrible choice to buy. But
now I want to buy an Epics, that DVD, because I have one from the HBO 24/7.
Have you liked Epics? I thought the first episode was a little but then the second and third episode I thought got really good.
Yeah, I think they sort of figured out what they want to do with it, and it's interesting. I think they spend more time on the teams than HBO did. I think HBO jumped back and forth a little bit. I also think they spent more time on the Penguins, but that's neither here nor there. But I think they spend more time on the team, so you sort of settle in to actually learn more about the team, and then they go and they focus on the Blackhawks, and then they'll go back to the Capitals, but they give each team more time during the show. It's not quite as jump back and forth, which I actually kind of like.
Yeah, so Epics was good. The finale is tonight in just a couple hours, and we'll talk about that maybe next week. But I can't wait to see what they do with the actual game. I'm excited to see how they work it into the show. So, anything else we should talk about in Caps world?
Nope. Caps won the Winter Classic. Woo!
Yeah. All right. So now we're gonna go down on the farm, but before we do, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears. We are talking South Carolina Stingrays. New Year's baby Dan has nothing to do with the farm, but it is the new year. What is going on down on the farm?
Better just ignore that one.
That was a reach.
But since we last talked, whenever that may have been, Hershey went 3-2-2 with wins over Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Lehigh Valley, and Norfolk. The Bears are currently second in the East Division with a record of 17-12-5, good for 39 points, 5 behind first place Wilkes-Barre, Scranton. So the Bears are doing a lot better. Keep going. They're in second place, but they got to get some of the worst wins over Wilkes-Barre, Scranton. I know they beat them once, but then they lost. They got shut out, I think, on New Year's Eve against Wilkes-Barre. So they get a couple more of those games. They can take over first place. That would be awesome.
Nice.
The Bears play again Friday in Albany, and then they play back-to-back on Saturday and Sunday, both of them against Norfolk at the Giant Center in Hershey. In South Carolina, the Stingrays went 4-2 at one point, going on a four-game winning streak.
Ooh.
Over Orlando, Wheeling twice, and Greenville. The Stingrays are currently fifth in the East Division with a record of 16-11-5, good for 37 points. The Stingrays play their next three on the road, twice in Gwinnett. I don't actually know where Gwinnett is. Twice on Thursday and Saturday, and then on Sunday they'll be in Greenville. Now, in some minor league player news, Hershey's leading scorer, Tim Kennedy, will be the Bears' sole representative at the AHL All-Star Game. I think every team in the East Division has one player going, except for Wilkes-Barre, Scranton. They have like two or three. But every other team in the East only has one player representing them at the AHL All-Star Game. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Any idea where the All-Star Game is going to be held this year?
I think I saw it in Orlando.
Is it? Okay. I was just wondering. All right, so if that's it for what's going on down on the farm, now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go around the NHL. I know there's probably been a coach fired. Somebody got hit in the head, isn't concussed. Somebody's suspended. I don't know what's happening. Hopefully 2015 will bring us a little bit happier news in the NHL. But Coach Dan, tell us what's going on around the NHL.
Well, instead of digging through the past 3 weeks in NHL news, let's just touch on a few of the major news-making headlines. Now, a couple of coaches are no longer working as New Jersey fired head coach Peter DeBoer back on December 26. Nothing like firing a coach after Christmas. Literally right after Christmas. GM Lou Lamoriello has taken over behind the bench, and he brought back our favorite head coach of all time, Adam Oates, to coach the offense while Scott Stevens will coach the defense. That'll certainly be interesting. Though, before he came to Washington, Oates was in New Jersey. And as long as he's just focusing on the offense, he'll be fine. So when he tried to focus on the defense, because Caps didn't have problems scoring last season, they had problems stopping other teams from scoring. So as long as he's focused on the offense, Oates will be just fine. Toronto fired head coach Randy Carlyle today. Assistants Peter Horchuk and Steve Spott will take over the head coaching duties for the time being. I would not be surprised if Dan Bylsma ends up in Toronto. That's my personal take on this. Although a lot of reports are going out, or a lot of speculation, I should say, is that they're going to go after Mike Babcock, who's currently the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings, which I think would be interesting. A lot of times you see this in the NBA and the NFL. You see coaches get traded.
Yeah.
It's sort of the rights of the coach and their contracts get traded. And that would be interesting. I think it's a little bit of Toronto and Canada being like, well, we're the Toronto Maple Leafs. We can do whatever we want. If I'm the if I'm Detroit, I'm giving them a middle finger and telling them to F off. They have a great head coach. There's no reason to get rid of them unless they're going to bring in someone like Bylsma or if Detroit has someone else in mind. And then I also saw on TSN that Phil Kessel was asked by a reporter if he's difficult to coach, which you can imagine did not sit too well with the Leafs center. He was a little upset when they asked him that question, but it was pretty funny to watch. You can find that on TSN. And then, of course, in some trade news, the rich get richer as Pittsburgh acquired forward David Perron from Edmonton for forward Rob Klinkhammer, who may have the coolest last name in hockey, and a first-round pick in the 2015 NHL draft. Now, before that deal, Edmonton made a couple more moves. They did on December 29th, bringing in center Derek Roy from Nashville for forward Mark, and I have no idea if I'm going to say this right, Arcabello. It's an interesting last name. They also claimed forward Matt Frazier from Boston and waived one-time Hershey Bear Steve Pinizzotto. Columbus signed forward Nick Foligno to a six-year, $33 million deal. Comes out to a cap hit of $5.5 million. He got paid. Arizona Coyotes – it's still weird to say. Arizona Coyotes. I think I'm already used to that. The Arizona Coyotes officially introduced new owner Andrew Barraway last Friday. He now owns 51% of the team, which cost him a reported total of – $152.5 million. And that's only just over half of the team. Now, the reports are that he said he's not going to move the team, but there's still the possibility that in the future they could end up. But it sounds like he wants to keep them in Arizona for the time being and probably for the future. And finally, Canada beat Russia 5-4 to win the 2015 World Junior Championship, giving Caps prospect Madison Bowie a gold medal. So congratulations to him. That's the news from the past few weeks in the NHL.
Did you see that as Canada won the World Juniors, one of the Russian players took his stick and just threw it into the crowd? I don't know if like people...
No, but the Caps players were doing that at the Winter Classic, and I was like, guys, stop! First of all, you can throw your jersey, I'll throw a stick.
It must be a Russian thing, because I saw Kuznetsov kind of wing his stick.
He did. He saw somebody else do it. I can't remember who it was. Someone else did it, and then he did it. Like, he kind of saw it was like, oh, cool. And then he did it, too.
Yeah, it's probably just...
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be some sort of Russian thing. Because, like, the Canadians were going crazy for the World Juniors. They won and everything. This Russian player, who was frustrated, just kind of, like, throws his stick into the air. But it goes into the crowd. And, I mean, I don't know if it hit some... It had to have hit somebody. But I don't know if they got hurt or anything. But not a good idea to throw it. Like, Kuznetsov throwing it in. People are looking at Kuznetsov. This Russian guy just throwing it because he lost. People aren't really paying attention to him. So I don't know. Not the best idea sometimes.
Yeah. Don't throw heavy things at people who may not be paying attention. Just a heads up for anyone in life. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah. All right, well, that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. If you want to continue the conversation, you know Coach Dan and I are both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan website devoted to Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, which apparently you informed me that the Caps will have a bobblehead coming out in February? What was the day again? 19th?
Oh, yeah, yeah. February 19th. It's Ovechkin.
An Ovechkin bobblehead. I'm sure it'll be very silly. I already have one from a couple years ago. It must be a couple years ago because there's an A on his chest and not a C. But yeah, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. I also had an article come out 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, about the team and sort of some of the lineup troubles they may be having. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Also Caps Outsider, they actually did post the Slapshot Santa bobblehead, which I was very happy about seeing.
Oh, God.
I want to go to another game, man. I want to go
buy $40, man.
$45. Let's get it right.
That's freaking – okay. You know what, Caps? You're out of your damn mind. Caps, you're drunk. You need to go home.
I'm going to talk about it all season. I cannot wait to see their Jesus Slapshot bobblehead that's coming out around Easter.
I'm thinking some religious groups might be a little upset.
I bet you they will be because just the silhouette kind of had me a little offended, but I also think it's hilarious. All right, so go to BrandoCash.com, get information about What the Puck, The Call, anything else that we do, video, photography, any other podcast we put out in the world. You'll get information there. Now, don't forget, you can also go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. When you're on Facebook, you'll get the news of whenever a new podcast is going to come out. You can also go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, get information about this show. We'll put up some, you know, Caps videos or photos or anything else that we find interesting that we think you guys would like as well. We're also on Twitter at WTP_podcast. So check us out there. Again, we do this show completely for free. You guys download it, stream it, or listen to it for free. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Now, since the show is for free, you guys download it for free. We do it for free. All we are asking in return is for you to please tell people about the show on the web. So, you know, if you're enjoying the show, if you're a Caps fan, go to Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and wherever else you guys are social on the web. Say, you know, I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Until we talk again, the Capitals have 4 games, and if I was queued up correctly on my laptop, I would know what they are. Okay, there we are. On Wednesday, January 7th, the Capitals are in Toronto up against the Maple Leafs, getting some Tim Hortons.
You know, about that game, why is it always seen when a team fires their coach, the next team they're playing against is the Capitals?
That kind of seems to be our MO.
Like, they need to have that extra bit of motivation to be like, oh, we're going to prove everybody wrong that we're not as bad because we fired our coach. And then it's always against the freaking Caps.
It's always about the Caps.
So annoying.
They'll be up in Toronto Wednesday, January 7th at 7 o'clock Comcast Sportsnet. On Thursday, January 8th, the Capitals are visiting the City of Brotherly Love in Philadelphia up against the Flyers. Make sure you go to Pat's or Geno's, get a cheesesteak. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be airing on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Saturday, January 10th, the Capitals are back home in the phone booth up against the Red Wings. That game's at 7 o'clock. If you're not there in person, watch it on Comcast Sportsnet. And then Monday, January 12th, the Capitals still at the phone booth, enjoying some time at home, up against Colorado, up against the Avalanche, up against our old buddy Varley. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. So that is pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Hope you're going to watch some Caps hockey. If you were at the Winter Classic, I am always going to be jealous of you. Hope you had a good time. Hope you unleashed the fury with the 40,000 other people that did. But until the next time, I'm not going to be in Toronto, but hopefully we'll all scream together and they'll hear us, even though they are coachless. Say, let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
I think so, too. I think they're starting to play significantly better than they were at the beginning of the season. I mean, out of their last 13 games, they've gotten 11 points in the last 13 games. Hold on. We need to back up because I don't think that's actually correct. Okay. I misread what I had written. Let's start again for the beginning of what you said. First outtake of the new year.